EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty. Four calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. How are you all? I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. Starting us off tonight is Paul from Colorado, sharing his unusual experiences in Wyoming while on a motorcycle road trip. And then we travel to Texas and speak with Travis about encounters Travis and some family members have been experiencing. Paul up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Paul, and welcome to the show.
Hey, Nick, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for joining us, Paul, and you're coming to us from the state of Michigan today.
Actually, I'm from Colorado originally, but calling currently from my parents' house in Chicago, Illinois.
Paying a visit to the family.
Yes, sir. Drove 1,000 miles to visit the family, had nice breakfast, and now I'm sitting in a driveway talking with, I don't know how many people, a lot, I'm sure.
Thousands of thousands. You have an experience to share with us. Would you like to let the listeners know what you were doing and what you experienced, please, Paul?
Absolutely. So what I do for a hobby is called adventure motorcycling. It's big dirt bike, I call it street legal, that you can camp out of to go on a road trip off-road or on-road. The story happened, I was heading up on a trip for 2 weeks towards Idaho, heading towards Wyoming into Utah. Before I hit Utah, it was pretty late in the day. I was traveling through a pretty desolate area of mountains, forests, looking for a camp spot for the night. Wanted to hit it before the sun went down, of course. And I found Woodruff Reservoir. It's a little forest road turned off. It's a mountain reservoir, nice lake, and it's absolute middle of the forest, nothing around. So my problem is I always take two little photographs. So this time I decided, hey, I want to snap a picture of the lake, snap a picture of the campsite where the bike is by the little creek. All was good. Great day, great afternoon. Had some dinner and crawled in my tent and went to sleep. The next morning, I woke to my Garmin GPS locator where I can receive and send SMS messages from my girlfriend, frantically asking me where I was. I was surprised I checked in the night before. While I responded, I was informed that she's showing me over the coast of Africa. Well, weird, never glitched ever. Not to this day, even. Wrapped up camp, moved on with a road trip. No events happened, came home after a couple weeks. And it wasn't myself, actually. We were loading the photos I took from the trip onto our desktop. And Tracy, my girlfriend, actually noticed this. Hey, what's that in the sky? Is that a bird? She's a big bird lover. And so we zoomed in, and the first one showed a reflection from the light and did not look like a bird. So, of course, now I'm kind of interested about it. Let's see the rest of the photos. So as we scan the rest of the photos, you know, obviously looking at the sky, zooming in, I noticed where the motorcycle camp was looking up into the blue sky, noticed the triangle pattern, which was pretty strange. So it's the two pictures of two different crafts. I did not see them with my naked eye. The same night the GPS malfunctioning, that just kind of weirded me out. And to this day, I wonder what those were. It's just not one. That's pretty much it. And like I said, the only thing I can add, and I'm not sure, I don't want to say 100%, that day when I went and took a picture, kind of walked around the lake, I heard this weird whistling sound, almost like a whistle sound. But living in the mountains, I know sometimes the wind going through the trees in a box canyon will make that sound. So I really, it wasn't out of place to me. I just remember like, that sound, not too loud, but in the background. Thought it was the wind. That's all I remember from it. And that's pretty much all I got.
Now, Paul, you sent me the two images. And what I'll do is, for the listeners, I'll put them on the website just below this episode so people can go check it out. Yeah, two very unusual pictures. I see the one you've taken to the campsite, and you got the three objects just above the mountain line.
Yeah, in a perfect triangle.
In a perfect triangle, that's right.
And the other one, to be honest with you, like my gut feeling when I first saw it, it looks like a Navy stealth drone almost. But if it was, I would have heard the engine 100% that close. But, you know, if you look at that like a Navy stealth drone, it kind of looks like a little bug. That's what I kind of got from it. Like I said, it's unless they have a stealth mode I'm not aware of, that, you know, the turboprop or whatever they use will be definitely audible where I was.
Yeah, it's unusual. And your tracking device, you've never had a problem with it before?
Not once.
Or since?
Not once. Never. Not once ever since I got it, and I've had it for quite some time now.
And I'm the same. I mean, you know, a lot of people do use these trackers. Now, I use a Garmin, and I go out running, and I go out night running, and it all gets recorded, you know, and stuff. And I've never had a problem with this, with mine whatsoever.
That's what I have. I have a Garmin InReach SE, like the original one still, and it's never gave me an issue.
Yeah, I'm the same. I've had this for years, and I've never had a problem. I mean, we're not, you know, we're not saying that they don't glitch now and again, but...
What are the odds of the same day out of all the days I owned it? That's what got me. You know, of course, everything glitches except for when I put two and two together. If Tracy didn't text me in the morning, not noticing, looking at the map where I was, this probably would never even been noticed, you know, the connection to the GPS, because I would never like thought of. But since she texted me telling me I'm over Africa, you tend to be like, hey, wait a minute, what's going on? Unless maybe I went for a ride at night. I don't know.
I mean, that's a long way. I mean, to Africa.
Yes. And it wasn't over the land. It was off the coast. So like it was over the water where the pin was. The best way to put, if I remember, it was like off the coast of Somalia, northern Africa.
To our listeners out there, if you've experienced anything similar to what Paul has with your tracking device, let us know. It'd be interesting to see if anyone's had any similar problems.
Yes, I would love to hear anybody that would knows what a glitch, especially on a Garmin, same type of, because I've never heard of anybody having a glitch. I mean, that it's an SOS device, so it's probably built to be pretty reliable.
Yeah, like I was saying to you, Paul, just before, I had a guest on a couple of years ago who the same thing. He was going higher and it was being recorded on his health watch, and it wasn't until the next day that he saw, you know, what's going on. There's no way I was going that high. I think he lived in like a single story house, but he was going high.
Wow.
And you know, and he'd had loads of experiences in any case, so it was just something that his experience was recorded on his watch.
Awesome. That's interesting. Is the groundswell maybe?
It's a strange one. I mean, fair enough. You can look at it, you know, it glitched and stuff, but the fact that you recorded these objects, you know, on camera, you don't remember anything else strange that happened on that particular journey at all?
No, that the journey was complete uneventful. And you know, like I said, thank God, Tracy, looking at the pictures when we got home, she was the one that noticed. She thought it was a bird. That's how, but yeah, it was completely uneventful outside of the events that I mentioned. And yeah, who knows? The only, you know, another facility nearby, well, it's not nearby, but it's still Air Force Base, when I thought about first, was the nearest Air Force Base to that area out of Salt Lake City or Ogden. Possible test flight of some sort, drones, but why would they do that? They have their own backyard to play in, right the other way, over 80, Interstate 80. So, like people always say, we saw these crafts. Why would they fly a classified craft over public? That always got me questioned, but who knows? You know, when we were developing F-117 Stealth Fighter, we were laser targeting some guy's a boat shed up in northern Wisconsin every night. And then he was questioning things in the beginning. That's a little funny story from back in Skunk Works era. But yeah, who knows what's out there and what they're doing, but maybe it was a live test for I know.
It's possible. So you were right down the bottom left-hand corner of Wyoming, to literally just on pretty much on the border. So you were at Woodrowe Narrows Reservoir, is that right?
Exactly. Yes, that's what it was. And you'll see like Bear Lake nearby. I consider going to Bear Lake, but then I found that place.
Right, yeah, it's just north of Bear River.
Yes, sir. So you can see it's pretty desolate. There's really nothing around there.
It must be a good ride.
Oh, it's amazing. Except for the wind. Wyoming is always windy, no matter what. There's very little trees, it seems like. So on a motorcycle, you might as well put a stay on, save on gas, go into Wyoming.
And when is your next tour? When are you going away again?
My next trip is actually scheduled for next weekend. I'm heading out to Santa Fe, New Mexico, visit a good friend. And we're going to Angel Fire. He races downhill mountain bikes over there. So I'm going to go and cheer on the sidelines for him. And then take it from there. You know, Angel Fire in northern New Mexico is just for a guy like me. It's paradise. You know, dirt roads, endless, and altitude, and rivers, and forests, and mesas, and that's what I live for. So next weekend, heading south, see a good buddy of mine, trying to get him into riding too.
It's a good life, you know, you're on the road, you take in nature, you see all these wonderful states, you're away from social media, you're away from the television, you know, and you're doing what people should be doing, you know, getting outdoors, traveling around, you know, and taking it all in.
Yes, sir, and the biggest bonus is 47 miles a gallon, you know, at today's gas prices, so we can afford to ride far and not feel broke about it.
I'm super jealous, man. It's a good life.
Oh well, come out and visit, Nick. Come out to Colorado. We'll get you a bike. Spend a week out there, man. It'll blow your mind.
Just don't tell my wife about the two wheels.
Sir, I won't. Boy's got honor.
Boy, you got it, brother.
But you know what's awesome? It sounds like there's a lot of people with stories. That's awesome, man. You know,
there is so many. I mean, I get about 150 to 400 emails a week, right? And when I very first began, I did two recordings, and then I put out the email address and all that. And then I had about 20 emails back, and then the following episode I had 50, and then it just kept on growing from there. And it's,
that's so cool, man.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, literally, I'm doing 6 episodes a day for most of the month.
So get this. When I was driving here to my parents, 1,000 miles, so it's really, I made 2-day ride out of it, right? I saved 3 of the podcasts I wouldn't listen to, so I have my road for the podcast. So it kept me entertained pretty well. Thank you. Keep them coming.
That's good. I get that a lot. I get a lot of people that go on road trips and they say the same thing.
Yeah.
People get annoyed because they ended up listening to all of the episodes and they run out. So people are like, please release more episodes. Please release more episodes. So
I feel the same way, Nick. I'm sorry not to put pressure on you. Yes. I agree with that.
The good news is from about October, November and December, I'm gonna be releasing a whole load extra for the months in any case, just so I can clear the backlog.
Awesome. Awesome, man. Can't wait.
Wonderful. Okay.
Will do, man. It was my pleasure, Nick, and great talking to you. And yeah, I'll keep listening. And you take care, sir.
Paul, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
You're very welcome. And I'm happy that I get to share something that doesn't just sit in somebody's photo album with a story for the closest family. That's my point. I want people to hear it, and I want to hear it from their side, too.
Exactly, exactly. And if you're on tour again and you come across anything strange, let us know.
You're the first guy I'm going to contact. How about that?
Take care of yourself, Paul. It's been great talking to you, brother.
Yes, sir. Likewise. Take care, Nick. Bye.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of high strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange. Hello, Travis, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, Travis. Thank you for joining us today, calling from Texas.
Yes, sir.
Travis, you have some UFO sightings and encounters to share. Would you like to start at the beginning, please?
Yeah, that'd be great. My name is Travis. I grew up in Texas all my life. I live in the Dallas area, and I've always been curious about life outside of Earth or other intelligent life, and but never had any experiences or anything like that. Never really expected to. One night, 3 years ago, I was in my backyard around 8:30 at night, and I was grilling salmon of all things, and I happened to be talking to my sister on the phone and just kind of pacing around the backyard while the salmon was cooking. And I looked up in the sky kind of out of nowhere, and in the distance I saw what seemed to be like a dark, gigantic blanket. At least at the time, that's what it looked like. And as it was getting closer and closer, I was trying to like go through my mind as to what was I looking at. And as it got to about right above me, it was a gigantic, I would say, like what considered to be like a mothership, city-size oyster shell shape, and like oblong, but more like an oyster shell. And it was dark, and it seemed to have like structure on the what I guess would be the belly. And it was it had like a luminescence, like a white glow luminescence under the bottom of it. And I couldn't see any propulsion, no wings, no nothing like that, no lights. And this thing glided. I don't know how to explain kind of the movement. It made no noise, seemed to be very high up, but gigantic. And it was kind of going straight overhead of my neighborhood, like a suburb of Dallas. And the only thing I could think of is either do I take a picture of this thing with my iPhone, or do I run inside and tell my wife, who doesn't believe that there's anything else out there and don't believe in this stuff. There's no way I could get a good picture of this on my phone. So I ran inside, screamed like bloody murder to get my wife to come outside real quick and come check out what I was seeing. And anyway, she ran outside and I went back to my backyard, and I was like in the bushes by the fence, and I was pointing at this thing. And of course, she didn't really know what to look at. And I said, do you see it? Do you see it? And of course, she didn't see it. It was dark. the object was dark. She didn't know what to look for. And so anyway, next thing I know, she's asking me when the dinner's going to be ready. And I'm wondering, oh my gosh, is she going to like commit me to the hospital, thinking I'm crazy? But I posted on Reddit at the time. I figured out Reddit was kind of like a community for people to reach out about this topic. I didn't really have any other sources. And this was kind of a new thing to me, I guess, in terms of like looking into. And I posted that what I had seen, and someone in one of the suburbs outside of where I live in Dallas said they saw it too. Their husband and son saw it, and they described it very similar to what I had seen. So anyway, that was kind of my first sighting. And then I kind of went down a rabbit hole of just like looking and trying to figure things out, I guess, especially after having like a reality changing experience. It's quite different from believing it's possible to see something that questions everything. You know, this is something we're not really taught of in school or growing up. So anyway, so I kind of looked in Reddit, started doing a lot of research on my own. I looked at like Dr. Johnny Mack and Dr. Carla Turner, you know, Bud Hopkins, and a lot of other people, and then just other people on Reddit that, you know, would post about their experiences, and you kind of sift through what seems to be true or genuine. Anyway, about 2 months after that, I grill a lot at nighttime. I like to cook for dinner for my wife. And so I was grilling again around the same time, about 8:30 at night. Same kind of thing. I don't think I was cooking salmon. I was probably cooking something else. But same type of thing. I wasn't on the phone, but I was just kind of like pacing around the backyard while the meat cooked. And I looked up, and anyway, long story short, there was this owl that I saw up in a tree. And I thought that was interesting. I never see owls throughout my life. Granted, I live in suburbs almost all my life, but I don't commonly see owls. And this thing was up in our live oaks and above our house. And it was significant enough for me to go and tell my wife about it. So that was just kind of one note. Granted, at the time, I didn't think too much of it, aside from the fact that I never see owls like that. This thing was like 2.5 feet tall. It was a pretty big one. About 2 months after that, I started noticing a time pattern. About 2 months after that, I was in the backyard again, grilling around 8:30, and I hear what sounded like an owl again. It was like a cooing noise is what the first one sounded like. And I hear this like cooing noise again, and I'm trying to look up in the trees around my property in my backyard, and there's one behind my backyard. It's one of my neighbor's trees, and I hear what sounds like an owl coming towards me, and I'm not moving, and it sounds like it's coming towards me, and I don't know how to explain it to you, but it's really odd. It didn't seem to make sense with it seemed like it was flying, but it didn't seem like the distance that it would have covered would have been enough for it to consecutively coo or make an owl noise consecutively, like 3 times in a row. Anyway, I was looking up the street trying to locate the owl. And next thing I know, a golden orb was kind of like shooting out from behind the tree, not directly behind it, but it was like almost like it got my attention to find the gold orb up in the sky. It was climbing up at what I guess would be like a 45-to-50-degree angle. And it was like slowly picking up speed. Then all of a sudden it arced like an EKG. And then it like warp speeded up. I didn't see the owl after that. Didn't hear it. It was almost as if the owl caught my attention to look in that area up in the sky or the tree area. Otherwise, there's no way I would have ever seen this golden orb. It didn't make any noise. So anyway, those were kind of my two sightings. I know that the owls kind of play into a weird connection potentially. I don't know if that directly had any connection, but it was a little bit odd to me, especially the second encounter. There's no way I would have seen this golden orb after that. But those were kind of my sightings, Nick.
Yeah, you said it was like a oyster-shaped UFO.
Yeah.
Was it more oval shape, or was it more like kind of like Saturn in a way?
Yeah, it was, I guess, like more oval shaped, and like how out of all the things that I was trying to think of in my mind of what I was looking at before I got to a place of thinking this thing was like a UFO or a ship of some other worldly type of origin. Like I thought of like, is that a blimp? Is that a a weather balloon, but the way this thing was gliding, it was like all uniform. There was no like turbulence or anything like that within that you could see on the material. But I would say it was like oval shaped or like oyster shell shaped. It wasn't like a perfect oval, I guess is why. I think there was maybe one end of it that was a little bit wider than the rest of it. It's kind of all I can tell you. When I got my wife to run outside, granted, she didn't really know what she was looking for, and I did not say UFO to her. When I saw it flying, I guess, or gliding away in the distance, I could see that it had like a top and a bottom to it. I could see that it had like depth to it, but the shape essentially was like, yeah, like kind of like you said, like an oval, but more like an oyster shell. Like the width of one side was much wider than the tail end, maybe. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does make sense, yeah. And also very large. You said city size.
Yeah, like the size of a city block. This thing was gigantic. I have, where I live, there is McKinney Airport. There's Addison Airport. There's Dallas DFW International Airport. There's Dallas Love Field. So we have a lot of airports all around our area. So I see airplanes, aircrafts, helicopters all the time where I live. And like I said, this thing had no lights on it, no wings, no propulsion. I could tell this ship or whatever it was so high up, yet it was so much bigger high up than it was versus like in these airplanes that I see nearby. So I can only kind of like go off of my best judgment, I guess, is the best I can tell you. But I was in the Marine Corps, not saying I'm an expert, but I was in the Marine Corps and I dealt a lot with aviation. I did aviation as a career to an extent after I got the Marine Corps. So I'm quite familiar with aircrafts and airplanes, like what most people see. And I could just tell this thing was much, much larger than what we have, like with commercial aircraft and military aircraft.
Gotcha. With your background and obviously living near an airport, you know you're not looking at a plane.
Yeah, it was something that totally stood out versus anything else I commonly see. So. Is like I told you, it was like otherworldly. It when I saw this thing, and while I was trying to decipher what I was looking at or figure out what it was, I like had this like panic, almost kind of like a deer in the headlights. Like I felt inferior, or like this thing could get me if it wanted to, and there's nothing I could do. It was a weird like fear that I've never really had of like, I don't know. Maybe it was part of the fact that it was kind of like reality changing in a way. I'm sure played a part into it. But anyway, those were my two sightings. But more than anything, Nick, more so the reason why I reached out to you is something that I have two sons, and my youngest has had potentially some experiences, and I think they're more along lines of like abduction experiences potentially. And that's kind of more so why I wanted to reach out. Being a parent, you don't hear. I've heard other experiencers on your show speak about that maybe some of these things are happening to like their sons or daughters. A lot of it seems to be genetic lines or family lines. I'm not cognizant if I am an experiencer myself, but more than anything, some of the experiences my son has told me about seem to be very genuine to me and very real. And more so why I wanted to reach out to see if, you know, anybody else has experienced something similar, or if there are other parents out there potentially that are like hesitant to like share. So that's kind of why I wanted to reach out to you today.
At what age did you realize that possibly something was going on with them?
Yeah, so it all started around when here in Dallas, we had that real big snowstorm that kind of shut down a lot of our power grid. It was quite chaotic here. I think it was around, February of 2021. It was right around his fifth birthday, and his birthday is right around that time frame, like within days. So it all kind of started around his fifth birthday.
Around his sixth birthday. And what are some of the things he's mentioned?
Yeah, so let me tell you kind of how this all started, to be honest with you, or to be upfront. He's always kind of like, so I've got two sons. I've got he's now six. He was five when this started. I've got an 8-year-old son, and the 8-year-old's he's like 20 to 30 pounds bigger than my 6-year-old. So my 6-year-old's kind of a little guy, but he's tough, he's athletic, And he's always kind of been my Rambo type of character. He's real tough, you know, and always fights Big Brother, and he's just as good a Big Brother, if not better, at everything. Anyway, so he's kind of got a chip on his shoulder, and he's always been our tough guy. So right around, like I said, his birthday, right around when we had those heavy snows that were not very typical for Dallas, Texas area or Texas in general, he'd had a nightmare one night right around that time frame, and not much to it. He got in our bed, I believe, like at 2 or 3 in the morning, and that was kind of that. And anyway, that following night, later that day, we were about to do bath time, and I was in the kitchen and he was in the playroom. He asked, "Can someone come turn on the light for me in the playroom?" And this, it's real uncommon for him to ask for anything like that. So I walked in there. I was like, "Yeah, I can help you out." And it's like, "Hey, man," I was like, "why do you want me to turn the light on for you?" He's like, "Well, I'm scared. It's dark in here." And I said, "Okay." I go, "Why are you scared in the dark?" And he goes, "Because of my nightmare." I go, "Because of your nightmare?" He goes, "Yeah, but I think it was real." And I said, "Okay." I go, "Can you tell me about it?" And right as he was about to tell me about this nightmare that he said that he thought, but it was real, his big brother and mom come walking in. And it was like he shut up, like he didn't want to talk about it anymore immediately when they walked in. So anyway, long story short, later that night, they bathed. Big brother had like ringworm or something like that. So mom was going to put cream on his leg. And so I was alone with at that time, my 5-year-old in his bedroom. And I go, "Can you tell me more about the nightmare that you want to tell me?" And he said, "Yeah." He goes, "There was a red one and a blue one." And I go, "What do you mean?" I go, "Do you mean like beings?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Okay." I go, "So there's a red being and a blue being in your bedroom?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Okay." I go, "Did they come through your door?" And he goes, "No, they came through the wall." I've looked at this stuff after having my sightings, and it's quite common that when people have abduction encounters or encounters in their household, that these beings go through the walls. Granted, I led him to say to the door. Anyway, he said they came through the wall, and I said, "Okay." And it kind of like scared me slightly when he said that. This is something that he has no knowledge of. He's never looked at it. I've never talked to them about this. He does watch some Pokemon and stuff like that, but I don't think that they go through walls. Granted, I'm sure there's all kinds of stuff with Pokemon. But anyway, so he tells me they came through the wall, and I said, "Okay." I go, "Can you describe what they look like?" And he said, "Well, the blue one, it was like camouflage." And I said, "Okay." And he goes, "It had 2 arms and 2 legs, but it was all camouflage." And I go, "Okay." And I go, "Did it have any eyes or nose or mouth?" And he said, "No, it was like camouflage." And I said, "Okay." And then he goes, "The red one," he said, it didn't have any arms. And he told me that it had 1 eye and it had a mouth that went from cheek to cheek, essentially like a wide mouth with sharp teeth. And he said that it had really skinny legs and big feet. And I said, "Okay." I go, the other detail he gave me was that the red one was like 1 foot tall, maybe, kind of based on what he was saying. And then he made it sound like the blue one was a little bit bigger, so maybe like 1.5 feet tall. And that was kind of it. And then mom and brother, older brother, came in the room. And then I just told him, "Hey, could you draw me a picture of this tomorrow?" And he said, "Yeah," he would draw me a picture. And that was kind of it. And I left it at that. And anyway, so next morning comes. Also, one thing I want to add is that he begged to sleep with his big brother. They sleep in a bunk bed. After the nightmare that he had the following night that he told me, he started describing this stuff to me, he wanted to sleep in bed with his big brother. It was like still the weekend. And this is like during the school year. And because it was the weekend, mom let him sleep with big brother. It wasn't a big deal. And that was kind of it. So anyway, next morning comes. I'm like on my computer doing some work stuff, and I've been working at home remote since COVID. It's like 9 in the morning, and he walks up to me And he said, hey, Daddy, can I tell you more about my nightmare? And I said, yeah. And so I'm sitting at the dining room table, and he's telling me this. And he goes, when they left, he goes, they went through the ceiling. And I go, they went through the ceiling? He goes, yeah, they went through the ceiling right there. And it was right above the dining room table I was at. Said, okay. And then I said something like, how did you see them go through the ceiling? I go, were you in this room? And he said, yeah. Anyway, I happened that night to be sleeping on the couch, which was the room that connects his bedroom to the dining room. And so I said something like, Daddy was sleeping on the couch. So if you were in the room, did you see Daddy on the couch? And he goes, yeah. He goes, I was laying next to you on the couch. And I go, no, you weren't. And he like looked at me like dumbfounded that I had said that. And that was kind of it. I didn't press any more on that. And he said something like that they had come to him in his bedroom. I said, you said they came through the wall. I said, did they come into your bedroom? He said, yes. And I said, okay. I go, did anything happen or did they say anything to you? He said, yeah, they said something to me. I said, okay. I go, what did they say? And he said, the red one and the blue one said, come closer. I want to marry you. And I was like, what? I was like, what did you say? And he said that they said, come closer. I want to marry you. I thought that was the most odd thing ever. And I said something like, I go, are you messing with me? Like, are you telling me the truth? And you could tell that he was like upset that I wasn't believing essentially what he was telling me. And he said, yes. So I started kind of getting the feeling that he wasn't like playing into anything. Like if the fact that I was questioning that if this really happened, I could tell it affected him, which kind of psychologically to me, just taking this all in, made it feel more real. And so anyway, the rest of the day kind of went on. That was the morning time. And I think mom had taken big brother to like soccer practice or something later in the day. And so just to kind of get ahead of bedtime, I went ahead and bathed at the time, 5-year-old E. So I was bathing E. He goes, Daddy, can I tell you more about my nightmare? And I said, yeah, you can tell me more about it. And he said that he goes, can I tell you more about what they look like? And I said, yeah. He said, he goes, red one had big feet. It had bigger feet than you, Daddy. And I said, okay. And he said, the blue one, he said, it moved really fast. He said, like faster than you, like really fast. And I said, okay. And that was kind of it. And I'm like drying them off. And I said something like, can I ask you one more question about what they look like? And I was trying to ask him something. And he said something like, I don't want to talk about it anymore because it makes it feel more real. And so I kind of finished drying him off and I was like, you know, like grabbing his shoulders. And I said, all I can tell you is if anything else like this happens, talk to Daddy. But all I can tell you is, I don't know if this really happened or not, but all I can say is you came back and you're safe. And that's all I can tell you is that you're safe. So anyway, that was kind of it for that night. Anyway, it was almost like as if over the next couple of days, it was almost like more and more essentially was like coming to his mind in terms of like what had happened. Over the next couple of days, I had a couple more moments where I had like time where it was just me and him. And one of the nights, the following night, he had told me, it was just me and him again. And he said, Daddy, he was telling me about the red one, blue one. He said, the red one, one detail, I'm so sorry that I missed when I was drying him off and we were talking about what the red one and blue one looked like. And he said that the red one had big feet. And he said the blue one moved really fast. I said, you said that they were really short, like they were like a foot tall. I go, like, how tall were they? And he was like showing me off of his body, like measuring off his shin, like how tall they were. Like as if it was like something he was describing if it like really happened. I don't know. It's just like stuff that I caught on to make it feel more legitimate to me. And then, so sorry to jump back the next day. He had said, you could tell me more about what they look like and kind of what his interaction was. And I said, were they mean or were they nice to you? And he said, neither. And thought it was odd that he had picked something that I didn't give an option. He said that they were almost like, I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was almost like he explained them as being like jester-like, as if they like, he said something like they made fun of him, but they weren't like mean or nice. So I thought that was interesting. Another thing he had said was that the red one that had no arms and two legs and big feet, he said that it had legs like Tweety Bird. And at the time in their playroom, we had like a playroom set up where they have a TV where it gets on to like Disney Plus and Netflix and Amazon, stuff like that. And one of the streaming options is something that has like Looney Tunes in it. He pulled up Tweety Bird and he said, look, the red one had legs just like that, where it was like pole-like legs with like gigantic disproportional feet. And that's what he said that the red one looked like. I found it pretty interesting that he was going that in depth on the detail of what this thing looked like. Anyway, after that, the weekend was kind of over and school was starting back up, and all these consecutive nights he had slept with his brother, which was really out of the norm. He had to sleep in his bed, bottom of the bunk. He was really upset that he was going to have to sleep in his bed. Anyway, later that night, I checked on him, and it was like as if he was like a mummy under his covers. His covers like pull over his head tight, and he had like a little flashlight on under it. And not only that, but he had like put blankets around his bed, almost like setting it up like a fort, like defense. This is all stuff that was very out of character to me, kind of like showed almost like PTSD, like he was terrified that this might happen again or they might come back. Some other things that happened that made me more so believe that maybe this was occurring is that, like I said, he went from being like the toughest little kid, Rambo, to he wouldn't even go to the bathroom by himself. He would actually go into our backyard to go to the restroom. So one of the times we were all in the backyard, and he has this Pokemon book, which I think after every Pokemon card we've purchased for that kid, I'm sure it costs like $1,000. But he's got this Pokemon book full of Pokemon cards, and he brought them outside. And we want to take care of that thing. It costs us a lot of money. So we told him to go take it back inside. And he wouldn't go back inside the house unless someone came in the house with him. So he, after this incident, let alone did he not want to sleep by himself and like fortified his bed, but he didn't want to be anywhere inside our own home by himself, even the bathroom. And still to this day, which now we're about a year and a half out, he still pees outside in the backyard. So anyway, since then, he's had two more potential encounters or sightings or nightmares, and there's a little bit more to it.
His whole personality changed. So he was a tough kid, and then he's a bit more scared of the dark, scared to go into rooms. So it looks like something has definitely affected him.
Yeah, I fully understand that, you know, having a 5-year-old child, little boy, they have creativity and imagination, and I understand that at certain ages, like development in those different directions can explode. And all I can say is that knowing him as being his father, and even more so with being on COVID, I mean, I've been at home every day for the past like 2 years with them every single day. So I'm very close with my two boys. He's like Mr. Captain Obvious, very black and white. Tough guy, or he was a tough guy. Like he's a funny guy, but he doesn't make stories up at the time. He's never made anything up like anything close, not even close, not even anywhere. But one of the things that really, I guess, impacted me the most, thinking that this may really be happening, is that his behaviors totally changed. He went from being, you know, like I said, Rambo to looked like a mummy under his covers, and had a flashlight, and had a fortified bottom bunk bed, like covers and everything, like draped down and tucked in, or wanted to sleep with Big Brother. So yeah, a lot of the, I guess, impact or behavioral changes that occurred after is what really kind of kicked off to me, on top of how detailed and how he told me the details, that this wasn't just a nightmare. So, yeah. So, if that makes sense, sorry.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it's an unusual one, that.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
What about his brother? Has his brother mentioned anything? The eight-year-old.
Yeah, so he's never mentioned anything. Like I had mentioned when I had my sightings, mom is not a believer in any of this stuff. I can't really speak for him exactly, but it's almost like I get a sense that he understands that daddy's kind of like the only avenue that he can kind of get support or talk to about it. At the same rate, with that being said, I can tell that he doesn't get any gratification out of telling me this stuff. A lot of times he doesn't really want to talk about it, but I don't think he's really shared a lot of his experiences with Big Brother. Just me looking at this stuff on my own personal level, especially abduction experiences and seeing that it runs in families and things of that nature. I've always wondered, like, why, just before I get too much further, my youngest son, he's had two other experiences after that first. During all this time, I've always wondered, like, why is my, and I'm grateful for anybody that's not experiencing this. That's a fantastic thing. But I always was curious as to, like, why is my youngest son experiencing this, but my eldest is not? And they sleep in the same bunk bed. One night I was in his room and he was in bed first, and we were about to do like book time. Mom reads books before we go to bed. And it was just me and him, and he sleeps on the top bunk, and I was kind of standing up on his ladder. And I totally get that this is so leading. I totally get it. But I asked him, and this is like during the time of, I'm the guy that looks at this stuff all the time, so it's hard not to ask questions, I guess, after I've looked at some of the stuff and knowing my youngest son might be experiencing something. But I asked him, I go, the ceiling's like a foot and a half above his face, like on the top bunk. And I go, have you ever had a dream about going through the ceiling? And he goes, yeah. I go, what? He goes, yeah. I go, what happened in your dream? I go, what do you remember? And he said that he saw a light, a circle of light show up on his ceiling. And he said that essentially that it kind of like, he went up through the ceiling, and he said he could see the rafters, like the wood within the ceiling, in the attic. And he said that he doesn't remember anything else. I've listened to a lot of your podcast episodes, and there was someone in the past on one of the episodes that described this light of feeling like love and happiness, like as if that was kind of like the feeling that exuded from this light and them being, you know, levitated from their bed. And I asked him, I go, did the light make you feel like a certain way? And he goes, yeah, like love and happiness. And I was like, what? And my stomach like dropped as soon as he said that. But that's the only thing he's told me, and I totally get how that looks leading. But the detail that he gave that said that the light made him feel like love and happiness, and that he said something like he heard something that told him he was going to be okay, it's okay, you're going to be okay. I thought that really kind of got me. Like I said, I listen to your podcast and I look into this stuff, but I don't listen or look into it around my kids. Usually it's at night when they're bed. Or when I'm in the car by myself. And so I don't think he's making that up. Like I said, it made my stomach drop when he told me that, especially the feeling he got from the light. But that's the only thing he's ever told me before. And I don't think the youngest really talks about what happens or his experiences with his brother. So if that answers your question, sorry.
You've got two possible experiences then, with the youngest and your eldest.
Yeah, I think so. You know, looking into, after kind of going from a nightmare to maybe this is abduction or they're encountering something like that, as crazy as it sounds, maybe not for people that listen to this podcast, but, you know, I still wanted validation. I was still trying to make certain that, is this really happening? Am I being crazy? It's hard to think after hearing all the details and stuff like that, but I just wanted to pay attention to it. So more than anything, I informed my youngest, you know, if this ever happens again, like, daddy, tell daddy, daddy's here to help you, and just stuff like that, and you're safe. Anyway, so I told you my youngest, he had had more than one encounter potentially. He had a second, I guess, visit, and he told me that before I tell you the second, I'm so sorry. One other thing that he told me that after the first visit over the couple of days is one time we were at the park, just me and him again, and we like to stay active and like get outside and stuff. And we were at the park, and I was swinging him on the swing. And he goes, "Daddy, can I tell you something about the red one and blue one?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Their ship." He goes, "It was much bigger on the inside than it was on the outside. If anybody that looks into what seems to be genuine abductions, especially when they talk about potentially like being on a ship, I hear that quite often, that it's like, it's impossibly bigger on the inside than it is on the outside." I've heard that before. That's something that's kind of stuck with me on a detail that he's told me before. There's no way he would have heard that outside of anything I could think of. Another time, within those couple of days, this is the leading question that I asked, but I said something like, do you think they'll come back? And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "But not until it's cold again." I go, "Why not until it's cold again?" He goes, "Because they like the cold." I go, "How do you know they like the cold?" And he goes, "Because it was cold on their ship." And I was like, "What?" It was cold on their ship. So I've also heard that too. That detail seems to be quite common, at least from what I've heard with experiences from others. So anyway, those were a couple more details that he had shared with me that just, I guess, solidified that this may really be happening to him. So anyway, sorry, going to what may have been, I guess, his second visit, he had told me that it was in the morning. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning. He comes running down the hallway. He gets in bed with me and my wife. He's had a nightmare. My wife, she goes to the couch. Before we like go back to sleep, I ask him, I go, "Was it a nightmare that you had?" He goes, "Yeah, but it was real." I said, "Okay." I go, "Can you tell me about it in the morning?" He said, "Yes." Okay. And so then we went to sleep. And so later that morning, I had to take him to school. And I dropped big brother off at school. They went to a separate school at the time. And then it was just me and him in the car for like 20 minutes, heading to his school next. And I said, "Your nightmare," I said, you told me that you tell me about in the morning. I go, "Can you tell me about your nightmare that you had?" He said, "Yeah." He goes, he said something like he saw 3 like beings in a tree. And he was referencing a tree that was technically outside of his bedroom in our front yard. And he said that they looked like they were really big. He said bigger than me, like 7 foot tall, 6 foot tall. And he said that they looked like they were fighting with each other. He said when they first got there, he said he saw a firecracker come down and it exploded. So I just making assumptions, I thought maybe he meant like a bright orb came down and exploded. I don't know. And then they appeared. But he said they were all up in the tree. And I go, "Okay." I go, how did you know they were there? Because I'm always curious as to if he's being visited by something, like, how does it start? Like, how does he become aware of their presence? And so I asked him, I go, "How did you know they were there? Like, how did you know when they got there?" And he said that when he opened his eyes, he had like X-ray vision, what he said. And I said, "What do you mean you had X-ray vision?" He said, "Yeah, I could see through the walls." And he said, "I could see down the street, through the houses down the street." And that's how he could see them outside of his bedroom, which I thought was pretty crazy. And then let alone on your podcast, I've actually heard of another possible experiencer explain that when she had awoken, that she had X-ray vision, could see through the walls, and she could see a being on the back patio through the walls. anyway, so when he said that, like, I don't know, just another thing that I've heard outside of, you know, what he's telling me. Anyway, he said that the only thing that he remembers is that they hung upside down like bats outside of his bedroom on the tree. Later that day, I got him to show me which tree. And I go, look, your bedroom is right there. I go, and that's when I found out that he had X-ray vision. Because I go, did you see them through your window? He goes, no, I can see them through the wall. And that's when he told me that. So that was his second visit. And then he had a potential third visit that he described as seeing a lizard man in the hallway. And this lizard man had what he described as like a pet, like a dog, but it was like a monster Muppet type of thing. He drew it for me. And it kind of looks like it has really spindly legs and sharp teeth. And he said that he felt like the dog wanted to eat him is what he told me. Anyway, that same night where he was telling me a lot of the stuff about the third time I was bathing him, and he said something about, I asked him, I said, you remember how you told me about it was cold on their ship? I go, do you remember being on their ship? Like, were you on a ship? He said, yeah. And I go, do you remember anything? Like, can you tell me anything? He said, yeah. He goes, there were 25-year-olds on the ship. And I go, how did you know that there were 20 other 5-year-olds? And he said that there were three beings that floated him up to the ship, and they had masters on the ship is what he described it. He couldn't explain exactly how he knew his 25-year-olds, but I said, well, what were y'all doing on the ship? And like when he's telling me this stuff, it's really hard to like ask any questions more than anything along the lines of like trying to really find out, is this really happening, and trying to learn like real details of what he's saying, if true. I don't want to lead if I can help it. After like listening to Dr. John Mack and people like that, the last thing I want to do is like a lead, especially a 5-year-old explaining what he's experienced. But he said, I asked him, I go, well, what do you remember doing on the ship? And he said something about how they were all stuck in chairs, these metal chairs. The only other thing he's told me aside from that a little bit later was he said that he and other people were on these like metal chairs or metal tables. And he said to me that there were other people that were sitting there. And he said some people were crying. And he said, but I wasn't crying. And he said, because I'm brave. And he said something to the effect of that these beings or whatever that he experienced said that they chose him. And something to the nature of that they chose him as if he's special. And if he's brave and doesn't cry and he's not scared, then they would like unlock him on the table. He said that he wasn't locked to the table, but other people were and they were crying, but he wasn't. So anyway, those are some of the bigger details that he's told me. I've kind of learned from asking here and there, granted, trying not to lead anything, that I don't want to push too much. He knows that he can come to me and talk to me and tell me whatever. I made sure of that. But I don't know. It's just not something that I want to push on him or feel like I'm pushing him. So I've tried to like, you know, chill out with the questions. After it happened, I asked some questions here and there, and that was about it. The only other thing that's happened since, this all happened in succession of maybe a couple of months after it started when he was 5. One night we kind of have a routine where on the weekends we'll go get donuts, and I stay up late, and so a lot of times I end up on the couch that night. And so one night I was sleeping on the couch. The back door of the house is not far from the couch. It's like 15 feet. Anyway, I'm sleeping on the couch, and all of a sudden I shoot up and wake up, and I hear the back noise from the back door, which leads out to our backyard and patio. I look over at the clock next to the couch, and it's like 2:30 in the morning or something like that. And so I get up, not even thinking, like going to investigate. And I go to the back door. I realize my youngest son's out there. And I'm like, what the hell is he doing outside? And so I open the door, and he's crying profusely. And I ask him, I go, what are you doing out here? He goes, you and mommy were out here. I was coming to you and mommy. He kept saying something like as if we were outside in the backyard. And he was like, we were calling him to come out there. And so anyway, I bring him back inside. I honestly cannot remember if the door was still locked when I opened it, but either way, that door is really hard to open. And in the first place, we live in like a 1960s house. And so there's a lot of like settling come winter and summer. And so the door is very stubborn to open without being locked in the first place. And he's a little guy and he already has a lot of trouble opening it on his own in the first place. So part of me kind of struggles with trying to figure out around, like, was he already out there? Did he open the door and go out there? Was it already locked? And it was just so early, I didn't think about those things when I went out there and opened the door. But that was kind of another, I guess, weird thing with all this stuff, is that I found him outside at 2:30 in the morning in the backyard. And he said that me and mom were calling him outside. But those were kind of the last details of anything that's occurred with him. One other thing that I can tell you about that I'm kind of hesitant to talk about is that early on, the first visit that he had, and he was starting to tell me some things, and it was before I realized maybe what might be happening. He told me that he was laying on the couch with me. And I was like, no, you weren't. And then he looked at me dumbfounded. Well, later that morning, something I didn't talk about. So that was like, I don't know, 2:33 in the morning. When he told me about this stuff, it was like 9 in the morning. And then I started realizing maybe there's more to this. That same morning, I ended up going to the grocery store. And then I went to two other like retail type of stores that same morning right after. And I set off the security alarms in all three of those stores when I walked in. I don't know if that has anything to do with this stuff. It kind of weirded me out when I came to and realized something else too. This might be a bit much, but kind of like where a cow gets tagged on its ear, I have something that feels like a little BB in like the top cartilage of my ear. I'm like 39, 40 years old, and I unfortunately get ear hair and I hate it. And so like when I'm watching TV, I'll like thumb my ears a lot and stuff like that. It's something I never became cognizant about until right after my son started having these potential visits or whatever occurred. It kind of weirds me out a little bit. It weirded me out enough to get my wife to like fill it just to see what she thought. Of course, there's no way she thinks it's an implant or anything like that. But anyway, that's kind of all our experiences between myself and my youngest son, and then my oldest son telling me about going through the ceiling at one time. That seems like a lot. What are your thoughts, sir?
Good stuff, Travis. Have you spoke to your wife much about this?
Yeah. So like I said, she, and I don't think religion necessarily has to play into much of this, but I've never been a very religious person. She's a little bit more religious. We belong to a church. We seldomly go to like on every Easter. I think in just knowing my wife, we've been married for 10 plus years. She's more of along the lines of ignorance is bliss. She's even told me that before. Doesn't want to believe in anything else. And I don't know if religion has to do with that, but she's never really been one to believe in anything. She probably thinks I'm a crackpot looking into all this stuff, or at least originally. But here's the thing. After as much as I've looked at this stuff, I really feel in my gut that it's all true, of course. It's hard to say it's not after kind of seeing the stuff that I've seen from my backyard even, or looking into a lot of other encounters that people have had. So as soon as my son started talking about these nightmares / visits, I knew my wife would downplay them or treat them as nothing, as just a dream, you're just dreaming. And I wanted to really quick get ahead of it in a way with trying to be as tactful as possible with her to kind of understand, like, we should be more open to this. Like, I'm not saying it's aliens or anything like that, but it might not just be nightmares. I go, just let him tell you about it. At least I just wanted to make sure that he had support for me and my wife. And all I can tell you, it was very difficult having that conversation with my wife. Thank God we didn't get a divorce. But after a couple of days of kind of tactfully talking through and trying to make my best case, just to be open, let's just like listen to them. I kind of made it on the other side of it, I guess, at least as far as I can tell. But it was not easy discussing this with my wife, for sure.
Right, of course. All right. And have you made a journal of the things that have been happening?
I have not. made a journal, I should definitely do so. I actually have a pretty good memory of, my memory is not the best in general, but for some reason I've memorized a lot of kind of what he's told me, but you're correct. I should definitely be writing this stuff down.
Yeah, write it down. Obviously including, you know, what you experienced.
Sure.
Okay, so what about your son at school? How has he been at school?
He's great. It really doesn't seem to affect or impact his life, his daily life or school life or anything like that. So I feel like he's kept a pretty good head while maybe potentially having these experiences. He hasn't had anything recently that I'm aware of. A lot of this stuff kind of came heavy on when he had just turned 5 and maybe a couple months after that. And that was about it, as far as I can tell.
He sounds very smart.
Yeah, he's really, and kind of like going along the lines of just out of curiosity and looking at all this, if one of my things, like I told you, is like questioning, like, how is my youngest experiencing this and my eldest is not, and they sleep in the same bed, bunk bed. One of the things I thought about is like, you know, why him? Like, what's special about him? Like, why him? I don't know if there's an answer to that. I don't know if there is such a thing, but, one thing that's very different is he's very kind of gifted with mathematics. So outside of just being a funny guy and athletic and everything else, he seems to be very skilled in mathematics in terms of school and education.
Have you got security cameras around your place?
I do not. I've contemplated getting security cameras after actually talking to my wife or kind of breaking her in on what may be occurring, somehow making it on the other side of it with her never believing in stuff like that. Her not leaving me or vice versa or whatever. I actually talked with her about getting like Christmas, or there was some type of occasion coming around the corner. It gave me an excuse to like buy something. And I contemplated getting some cameras around that same time. I looked in to research with other people that might be experiencing this stuff. And it doesn't seem like they quite get stuff on camera. One person had mentioned doing like a time lapse. And there have been a couple nights after I full-fledged kind of went straight down the hill of finding out, you know, this stuff might be happening to my son, and just, you know, going into parent mode or bear mode or whichever, several nights that I would sleep on the couch right outside his bedroom, and I would record, just audio record overnight on my iPhone. But I've never caught anything or anything like that. Is that something you would suggest? Like something like security cameras?
Well, I mean, so it's not so much about catching stuff, because as you've probably heard, it's very, very hard to catch anything on a security camera. If anything, it's obviously for security. And, you know, if there is a situation where one of your boys goes outside early hours of the morning, of course, you know, you'll be aware. So even just for that. And then if you do have a situation that came up, then at least you can check and see if there was anything that would show up, or if there is any disturbance on there, you know, where your camera sure. goes out or you lose power, whatever.
Sure. After the potential visit that he had, that he described the beings being in this tree in our front yard, we have a iRing, like doorbell camera.
Sure.
And we don't pay into it, so we don't get like the normal recordings that most people would get if you pay into a membership. I contemplated checking that thing after, but I don't think that it would have recovered, just to see if it caught anything. I'll be upfront with you. The way I've kind of looked at this stuff is that, and this might be it depends on how deep people have looked at any of this, is that in the event that it wants to make itself present to me, then I think it'll choose to do so. I say it, I don't know what. So that's kind of one of those things where it's like I can only go off of what he tells me and the behaviors, and let alone that I've seen 2 UFOs, 1 orb that defied physics, and like it's still at the same rate, and let alone all the stuff I've heard and researched, it's still like 99.9%. I fully believe in it, and it's like even the experiences I've had with maybe what's in my ear and the security, it's almost like there's a percentage of deniable or denial in me. Where it's like I feel like I have to see these things in person or catch one in my house to like 100% believe. I don't know if that really makes sense to many. Maybe some people that experience this stuff, not directly, but indirectly. I don't know. But that's kind of the part that I deal with.
course, you know, you're on a UFO show where people share their experiences. Of course, you should never jump to conclusions about what something can be going on, because it could be something completely innocent. You know, it can be just a dream. But what we look at is certain key things that are going on. I mean, he is 5-6 years old and he seems very clued up and he's made quite a few connections. A lot of the times there isn't any danger. It's just these things do happen. A lot of the fear usually comes out of not understanding what is going on. And it's the same for adults as well. You know, a lot of adults gone through traumatic experiences. And it's not until years later when they're older, they realize, well, you know, it wasn't so bad. It was just scary because I didn't understand it.
Sure. I feel like just kind of the psychology way of looking at it and just knowing my child and being very kind of in tune and close with them is I can tell that I think that he believes this stuff is real. I think that I can tell that he wants to think that it's not real, but it is. The way he describes it is that he'll say it's a dream or a nightmare, but it felt real. And then, you know, just based on behaviors and everything else. But anyway, I don't know. I just continue looking into it, try to find patterns. And more so, like I said, the reason why I wanted to reach out and share from the perspective of kind of maybe saying, having your own experiences and being a parent, kind of going through maybe something similar. I just wanted to see if other people out there had anything similar to what maybe my son or what I've caught or what it's been like for me, I guess, going through it and trying to find answers and be supportive. So I appreciate you giving me a chance to come on and share.
You're more than welcome, Travis. Anytime. Travis, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me, Nick. I'll definitely keep listening. Of course, if anybody else has something similar or is in a similar type of role as like a parent kind of dealing with something like this, I would love for you to share your experience as well.
Gotcha. Yeah, no problem. I'm sure they will. Most episodes I release, I get a ton more emails.
Sure.
All right. Take care, Travis. Keep in contact.
All right. Thank you, Nick. Good day, sir.
Yeah, take care of yourself, Travis. Thank you.
Bye.
That is all for this episode. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you've had an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Paul and Travis for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.